What's up, everybody? Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. We're jumping right back into round two of the NBA playoffs with our guest host of BetMGM Tonight and the Heat Check with Trista Crick Podcast, none other than the fabulous, wonderful, beautiful, smart, hilarious Trista Crick. How you doing, sister?
Maybe the best info I've
all
ever-
true. All true.
But usually people only give you one, you know, they give you one or two because like people be shady.
Yeah. Well, one, I have the privilege of being a friend of yours. So all of these things I know, which maybe other people don't know intimately, personally. Trista, how is everything going? I've been watching a lot of your content. Obviously, you are super dialed into the NBA. I feel like that has always been like your number one sport. Are you enjoying the playoffs thus far?
Visually, spiritually, definitely. As a fan, yes. As a bettor, I am getting my teeth right now.
Look, it's been interesting, especially with these Knicks series, which we're going to get into right now, because they have kind of come down to the wire in a lot of these games. Not so much last night, although we did have a little bit of a scare. So let's just get into it right now and recap last night's game. Round two, game two, the Knicks versus the Pacers. Now, there was a scare in the first quarter of this game. Jalen Brunson leaves late in the first quarter with a foot injury. Now, he does come back in the second half, scored 29 points total in the game, led the Knicks to a 2-0 series lead. MSG was absolutely on fire last night. And apparently, shout out to our producer, it happened to be 54 years to the day since Knicks legend Willis Reed's legendary comeback from injury in Game 7 of the 1970 NBA Finals, which of course led the Knicks to their very first championship. Very exciting. It's also the first time in Knicks franchise history that three players scored 25 plus in a playoff game. Of course, Brunson, DiVincenzo, and OG Anunoby. But there's some problems here, Trista, when we look at the injuries. We'll get into that in a second. Let me ask you this. How are you feeling about this Knicks team, what you've seen so far, and how far can they take it?
So, I mean, I think this Knicks team is resilient. They're gritty. Yeah. They're always playing like they're from behind. Mm-hmm. There is no lead that feels insurmountable.
Yeah.
And even when they should win by a million, like they just love these close games. So the drama is there.
Yes.
Jalen Brunson is my favorite. He's absolutely my favorite Knick. I've been on record saying I think he's gonna, maybe it's not happening right now. Maybe that's not where we are right now, but I think eventually he'll be the best Knick in the last 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe even getting to the point where he could possibly become the like one of the most legendary Knicks because he just answers the bell every single time. And last night was no exception. I think he had 8 points when he went down and he still almost scored 30. The man is unstoppable. So it's been fun. How far can they go? They could probably take the Celtics to 5. I don't think they have enough. And and especially with OG Anunoby's injury, that's very tough to come back.
Yeah. I think Jalen Brunson could lead them to a championship, not necessarily this year, like you said, but certainly laying the groundwork for just a different Knicks team. And by the way, no Julius Randle. So I don't know if that's a good or bad thing when it comes to Brunson, because maybe he wouldn't be going off for so many points if you have someone like Julius Randle there. But I don't know how far this team gets it, but this certainly isn't the last that we've seen of the Knicks making deeper playoff runs. But it's concerning right now when you look at these injuries, right? Jalen Brunson ended up coming back in the game, all right, but he had some foot soreness, gave everybody a little bit of a scare. You got OG also, 28 points before he left with a hamstring injury. His status is unknown. And then Mitch Robinson likely done for the playoffs with a stress fracture to the ankle. How worried are you with the, I mean, look, they get to the next round, they get to the Celtics. You said you think they can give Celtics, you know, maybe 5 games here. So we're not feeling too good about the Knicks in the injuries or just in general?
I think in general, even fully healthy, I would feel this way. I think now what you're hoping for is up 2-0 find a way, if OG and Anobi can't play in game three, to squeak one out and try to make this as short of a series as possible to get everybody back healthy. And then just see, because you've got just guys going down, like dropping like flies. Like you said, Mitchell Robinson, done. So now that's more minutes for Precious Achiuwa. You've got OG and Anobi with that hamstring injury. He's a key, key piece. I mean, this team is completely different when he's on versus off the floor defensively and just the flow of the offense. So he's just as important in my mind as Jalen Brunson. And so, yeah, you just have to kind of get out of there and hope that you can get past this Pacers team in four or five and then rest up and see maybe if the Cavs can steal one from the Celtics, which I don't think that they can do, to maybe at least be on even playing field with rest.
Couldn't agree more. Now, we can't talk about this series, Trista, without talking about the officiating. It has become such a major plot line. Several key mistakes in game one went against the Pacers, but more controversial calls in game two pushed Pacers coach Rick Carlisle too far. He got ejected and he blamed this big city Madison Square Garden bias after his postgame presser to, quote, small market teams deserve an equal shot. They deserve a fair shot no matter where they are playing. Is there something to be said in what he said there? Or is he being dramatic?
Well, first and foremost, the drama with Rick is hilarious. It would be taken more seriously, I think, if OKC wasn't where OKC was at. Right. They just beat Dallas. Right. If the Timberwolves in Minneapolis, Minnesota aren't up 2-0 on Denver, and maybe you think, well, it's just small market versus small market. But honestly, Rick Carlisle needs to think about more than just these officials. TJ McConnell, I went on another hit right before here, and so I had this dialed up because it was a more Indianapolis-based podcast. So when TJ McConnell is on the floor in 45 minutes, they have a 137 offensive rating, 115 defensive rating, and a plus 21.9 net rating. When he's off the floor, 110 offensive rating, 142 defensive rating, so horrible, and a negative 31.7 net rating. Mm-hmm. And TJ McConnell is just getting benched inexplicably. Yes. That was the thing that's been trending, is why is this guy not the one that you have on Jalen Brunson? Defensively, he's been awesome. He had 12 assists in 20 minutes. Obi Toppin's been great. He hasn't been playing in the fourth quarters down the stretch either. So Rick Carlisle's to blame for some of this as well. It's not just key officiating mistakes. It's Rick Carlisle's mistakes on top of these officiating issues.
Speaking of TJ McConnell, I mean, obviously Tyrese Halliburton had a better game this last week, but he was nowhere to be found in the first game. And TJ really picked up the slack. He had 18 in that game, 20 points in the game before that versus the Bucks. And I took him over to have at least one 3-point shot last night. He only took one 3-point shot and he missed it. But yes, I blame coaching on this. Get my guy out there. And he could have hit that at plus 165. I'm fairly certain of it. All right. So the Knicks go back to Indiana now for game three. Do you think that the atmosphere changes things and will it impact the officiating?
Well, we know that the field house is one of the toughest places to play. So I think yes, I think Indy is going to be rocking. I think that fan base is going to be incredible. Mm-hmm. I don't think necessarily that the officiating is going to change, even given the fact that there was a protest made to the league. Yeah. Because what we've seen and what's been like written about and documented is that the league has allowed more physicality in the NBA since the All-Star break. And so teams, no coincidence, teams that are super physical are succeeding, right? Timberwolves, Thunder, Knicks. Teams that are more finesse, like the Bucks, like the Pacers, like the Denver Nuggets, like the Mavs in a sense, they're struggling. So they're allowing you to put your body all over them. I don't know if you saw it, but like Precious Achiuwa body checked Tyrese Halliburton. He went flying. Josh Hart pushes Halliburton in the back, and he has back spasms. So there's all kinds of physicality that's allowed. I hope that the Pacers make this a long series, though, because I want to see seven. I want to see obviously these are two iconic, storied franchises that haven't liked each other in a long time. I think even Reggie Miller was getting cussed out at the Garden last night, and Josh Hart didn't know about it. So I want to see more of that. Whether that is an officiating change, I don't know, but I think it's just more of a personnel change.
So when we think about the Pacers, and like you said, it's going to be rocking there. And we see time and time again in these series that the bench players, the role players have better games at home. Who do you expect from the Pacers to really come out in game three?
I like Obi Toppin in this game, and yeah. I like him pretty much all series. His number's 9.5, and he hit 9.5. I think he had 11 points in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. So he's getting opportunities. He's super physical. And the point was made in terms of the matchup, like, you're not putting your best guy on Obi Toppin, your best defender on him. That has to go to Pascal Siakam. That has to go to Tyrese Halliburton. So the size of Obi is really imposing. And so he's a matchup problem. I like him. I think TJ McConnell probably gets more minutes. I'm going to continue to ride with his over 10.5 points. You're seeing that with Nembhard as well. Nembhard's number has been 10.5. So I like those role players for the Pacers, but you have to continue to ride Josh Hart, I think. Yes. Josh Hart is a problem on pretty much every aspect of statistical categories. He had, 12 rebounds by the third quarter, 15, I think, by the end of the game. He's scoring the basketball extremely well. So I think, you know, if you want to get his number, if you feast or famine him, like, take him at 15 points or more, I like. And then Dante DiVincenzo, those corner threes are going to be open for him all series long. Yes. That's just the way that into defense. So I like Dante DiVincenzo over 3.5 threes, but I also like his over points, which were 14.5 for game one and game two. I haven't seen what they are for game three, but those are the players that I'm going to continue to ride.
100%. I'm with you on DiVincenzo. And I will say about Brunson, his line for the assists aren't up yet, but I've been hitting unders on his assists because, like you said, the Pacers just can't seem to guard point guards. They get their open looks. They have their way with them. They don't know how to double team. Brunson's going to continue to score and get those open looks. He doesn't have to pass the ball that much. I believe in 5 games that they have played the Pacers, both in the regular season and also in the playoffs, he's had 6 or under assists in every game. The last line was set at 7.5. He went under that. Now, of course, he missed the whole second quarter, but I'm still riding on Brunson really not having to pass the rock too much. So I like him.
Yes, 1,000% agree. And the line has been really high, too. I saw 9.5, saw 8.5.
Yes.
So, yeah, I even think that's going to be more and more something to play, considering that if he does have any health concerns, that's one element. But if he doesn't, he's going to be looking to score the rock pretty much every time.
100%. And DiVincenzo's just been absolutely on fire. So spread for that Indy -6.5. We'll have to see what these injury reports look like, but I'm still taking the points of the Knicks. I didn't think they could go in there and beat Philly on their home court the way that they did. This team, like you said, is gritty. 6.5 points with the way how close these games have been when Indy has played well, when they've been able to push the pace. I'm still going to give the Knicks the 6.5. Any thoughts on the spread of this game or the total at 225?
I think you got to take the over 225, even with OG Anunoby potentially being out. I mean, you're just seeing what the Pacers do, and they don't play really defense. I mean, what we had was a live total of 243, and Ryan, my co-host on BetMGM tonight, was like, "Would you live bet this under?" And I was like, "Absolutely effing not, no." And the over flew over the 243 as well.
Yeah.
So I like the overs even without OG, and even more so without OG because even with the scoring. He's been an awesome defender as well against Pascal Siakam. So you maybe want to look at some Pascal Siakam props. So I like the over, and I like the Knicks as well. That 6.5 feels too high. And maybe, just maybe, OG Anunoby comes back and he's okay.
Yeah.
And now you really get a lot of value on the road.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like you look at this Knicks team defensively all season long. They've been able to control the clock, slow the pace down, but they have not been able to do that with this Pacers teams, which, as we said, live up to their name, have a very, very fast pace. And we've seen that in a lot of scoring, basically this entire series so far. So, Trista, before we get into tonight's games and plays for those, let's take a quick refresh and a look at this Denver versus the T-Wolves series. I got to tell you, I am shocked at what we have seen. Now, I know that Minnesota is one of the best teams in the regular season. I know they've got absolute stars, but I did not expect that the Nuggets would look this pedestrian, that the guy who's getting the MVP this year is going to look like an old man who can't get anything done. Are you shocked by how well the Timberwolves have been playing against the Nuggets, the defending champs?
So shocked. Shocked. And the way that the Nuggets, I guess, made somewhat light work of the Timberwolves last series, was one of the reasons that I kind of wrote him off, or at least thought maybe this would be a 5 or 6 game series that the Timberwolves could take the Nuggets to, and the Nuggets would go through to the Western Conference Finals. But you take into consideration, and this is not a knock on the Timberwolves, it's just fact what's happening with the Nuggets. Jamal Murray hasn't been healthy for 2 straight months. He looked horrible against the Lakers.
Yeah.
He had some moments.
He's also losing his mind a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think not being able to do all the things that you're known and you believe that you could do physically, I think is getting to him. And they're exploiting that calf injury, not just in terms of how they're playing defense on him, but how they're forcing him to play defense as well. So that's bothering him. And you can tell every shot is difficult. They're picking him up full court. They're making Jokic turn into a 3-point shooter. I think in game one, he had like 9 3-point attempts, something ridiculous. And so that part is difficult, right? And then they're taking away that lob threat to Aaron Gordon by using Rudy Gobert kind of on that back line, which I think is brilliant. Chris Finch really, if it wasn't for OKC and what Mark Dagnall has been doing, Chris Finch would have sailed to be coach of the year. He's excellent and has been doing a phenomenal job, even when Rudy Gobert didn't show up last second in game 2. So that part has been, you know, difficult. And what we're really seeing for the Nuggets is that they just did not replace any of the depth from last year.
No.
And so they had Bruce Brown, they had Jeff Green, and those were 2 crucial pieces of that championship run. And they pitched us and told us that, you know, Peyton Watson and Christian Brown were going to be able to do all the same things that those two did. And they can't. There's nobody that can get their own shot other than Jamal Murray. And if Jamal Murray can't do it, then what do you really have? And then you look at the Timberwolves and what they're doing. They've just got so much height. They've got so much physicality. They've got so much depth. They've got a bunch of guys that can do a bunch of different things. And at this point, I'm thinking about the broom. I'm thinking the Nuggets aren't even
going
to get one.
I know. I was saying Nuggets in 7, and now I'm thinking that I'm like, this team might actually get swept. So, Trista, I have to ask you about MVP, right? Because, and the timing of when MVP comes out, because you've got Anthony Edwards, who has just been absolutely unstoppable, playing mistake-free basketball. He scored a playoff career and also a franchise postseason record, 43 points in game 1, third postseason game with over 40-plus points. He's only 22 years old. You had MVP chance breaking out in Denver for Anthony Edwards. Now, obviously, Jokic likely to win again. Should they move this timing up to be more in the regular season? Because now it just looks like Anthony Edwards should be the MVP.
Yeah, it is weird timing when they announce it. And I think they want to stretch out our anticipation for the entire postseason on these awards. But really, they should be done as soon as the postseason begins. Like as soon as the playoffs start, let's just get them all over with and not just announce them like pregame for games 2, right? In the Western Conference semifinals. You're right about that. And plus, like at this point, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander looks like he was snubbed as well.
No, absolutely. And I guess actually Jokic was announced as the league's MVP for the 3rd time in the past 4 seasons. So congrats to him. But it's just such a weird disparity to watch the way that he's playing and watch the way that Anthony Edwards is playing right now and think that there's not something going on there. All right, so let's look at game 3 odds. Minnesota -4.5, total at 204. Anything that you're looking at in this game, any leads? Because, I mean, I might as well lay this 4.5 with Minnesota. I mean, I guess if the Nuggets are going to win any game, it's got to be this one. I don't know. I might lay the 4.5.
To me, I think this is one of those moments where either I'm really right or I'm really wrong.
Yep.
And I'm prisoner of the moment a lot. That's my fatal betting flaw, which is why I win when there's a dominant team, because I expect them to still be dominant. And that's what I expect from the Timberwolves again. What we saw from them in game 1 was in most parts of that game quite decisive. And then without Rudy Gobert, they were up by 30 at points. Over the Nuggets. So I'm going to actually take some alt lines. You can get like 10.5 for +230. There's a bunch of different numbers that are enticing, and you kind of see what Denver has in store. And I don't think it's much. Then you take into consideration that this target center is going to be absolutely rocking. Yep. It was 106.80. So yeah, I mean, if you want to take like a -12.5, see what those odds are, shop around. Take a Denver Nuggets team total under. I wonder what that is. I haven't looked at that. But yeah, in terms of like vanilla, have to bet. Yeah, you have to bet Minnesota -4.5 and get it to the point where you get plus money. Like even if it's just five and a half, I don't think that's going to really be different.
Well, and this is maybe one that you look at live betting. I mean, last night when the Knicks were -4.5 to start the game, as soon as Brunson was out, they got up to +5.5. You could have taken the money line at +240 to win that game. DiVincenzo's point line at one point, Trista, dropped down to 12.5, and you could get that at plus money. Now, by the time the first half was over, that was already at 19.5. He ended up clearing that either way. But this might be one where you look at some live lines. Let's see what Nuggets team shows up here. You might be able to find some value as it goes on. So we are going to take a quick break here, and then we are going to get into tonight's games and get some best bets from our girl Trista Crick. Don't go anywhere. Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the type of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and over must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or in Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino. Call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. License through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, welcome back here on Moxie Bets, presented by Caesar Sportsbook, here with Trista Crick of BetMGM tonight. All right, so let's look at tonight's game. You got the Celtics versus the Boston. Boston leads 1-0. The Cavs versus the Celtics. The Cavs don't have a prayer in this series, but you can't feel too good about the way that Jason Tatum has been playing here, right? Boston laying 13.5, this total 212.5. What are you thinking for this one?
The prop that I really like, and I'm going to give out to you, and I only give it out to you in my show, is Jason Tatum over rebounds. So awesome spot for him. The number is 9.5 now, but it dropped down from 9.5 to 8.5 right before game one. So maybe that'll happen again. And he had 11 rebounds against the Cavs in game one. He had 12 rebounds against the Heat. 11 against the Heat the game before that, and 11 against the Heat before that. So you look at a team with no Kristaps Porzingis, an older Al Horford, and then you've got a Cavs team that's missing Jared Allen, and Evan Mobley is getting sort of pulled away from the basket a little bit. And I think that's an opportunity for Jason Tatum to shine, and he has been. And that's been kind of the angle that I've been taking with him. I'm probably going to stay away from his points total unders just because you never know when he can have a great game. Yeah. But Derek White has been excellent, and especially from three. So So he had 7 threes in game 1, 5 threes against the Heat in game 5, 8 threes against the Heat in game 4. So I like Derek White threes. I also like Derek White points. You're getting a really low number for him. So and then in general, I think you have to at least look at taking Donovan Mitchell on a night-to-night basis. Yeah. He's pretty much the head of the snake in terms of what Cleveland is going to do. And then a sneaky one that I feel scared about is Darius Garland under points. We were talking about this earlier today, and it just feels like his confidence is gone. You know, it feels like he hasn't seen enough shots go in, and he's not really aggressive enough to figure it out. And if you're the Cavs, that's bad. But it's been kind of a trend for most of the Magic series as well. So my favorite bets are Derek White, Jason Tatum rebounds, and Donovan Mitchell over points, though.
I love that. I love the Jason Tatum rebounds. And I know, and I understand why you're more cautious not to take the under on his points, considering, yes, he is a threat to go off any night. But Trista, his scoring has been down this entire postseason. He's averaging just 20 points per game. That's down from about 26 and a half points per game in the regular season. He's got 32 assists and 10 turnovers so far in this postseason. Now, he did do a little bit better in the second half of the last game. But for me, 27 and a half just feels like too high of a jump for him, considering he's averaging just about 20. So I am going to take that under. It's juiced to minus 125, but certainly understand where you're coming from this. I do like his rebounds bet, actually, a little bit better.
Yeah, he's only had over that point total one time in the postseason, and that was game 2 against the Heat that they ended up losing. So that's one of those scenarios where I totally understand where you're at. I've been on such a cooler. I'm just gonna let you have that W all to yourself.
Yeah, I feel it.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
So the nightcap, the Dallas Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Okay, so we've got OKC leading the series 1-0 so far. OKC minus 205, Dallas plus 170. The line is 5, of course, favoring the Thunder here. This total is at 217.5. How do you see this one playing out? Do you think that is there anything in you that's like, let's sprinkle a little bit on the Mavs here?
Couldn't do it. Probably just going to take Luka under PRA. It's 51.5.
Yeah.
He's just not right. You're seeing Lou Dort get all over that. And he's not. And over time, I think it's just going to get worse for him in that tweaked knee. He tweaked it again in game 1. He had 19.6 rebounds, 9 assists, not even close to that 51.5 number. That's probably my best bet of the night. Yeah. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as well. He's been electric. I actually bet him to be the series points high scorer. He had 29. That was plus 400, by the way. I don't know if you can get it now, but he had 29, 9, and 9.
Wow.
So maybe look at his assist prop. I think it's 5.5. He's spreading the sugar out a little bit.
Yeah.
And then there's some role players I think that you can maybe think about taking some low point totals on that I think are going to get more playing time. For one, Cason Wallace. Cason Wallace came in for Josh Giddey when they were neck and neck with the Mavs. And Mark Dagnall, who's excellent, realized he had to take Josh Giddey out of the game. And as soon as they did that, Cason Wallace came in his stead. and they were off and running. So I could see Cason Wallace having a much better game today as well, tonight as well.
We're on the same play. I'm on Luka under his 51 and a half too. And look, he, like you said, he continues to play through that right knee sprain. He was far from what he was in his best game, right? And even when I look at what he's averaging, 28 points per game, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, that's still about 45. That's still under this mark. And that's before the knee sprain that he had. This is just, the number looks high on paper. It's going to look even higher when he's on the court. And I do think that they can't rely on just Luka and Kyrie. Everybody's got to get involved here. So I do think we see a dip in his scoring. Some of these role players definitely need to step up. Maybe I'd look at his assists because I think he's going to have to facilitate a lot more. But for the points, rebound, and assist, this is just way too high considering the injury that he has been dealing with. All right. Thank you so much, Trista, for joining us today. I always love getting to see you and getting to chat with you. Talk to me about what's going on with Heat Check right now and also on BetMGM tonight, because y'all cover everything.
I know. We're all over everything. We're talking about college football win totals tonight.
Already?
Yeah, Ryan, you know what kind of degenerate he is. He's already
I love that about him.
He's already looking at Ohio State. He's looking at Oregon. Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. We're going to talk about, we had a couple of newcomers in the MLB. Paul Skenes made his debut. Yep. So who's some of the most anticipated debuts that we've seen in sports? So a little more sports talk. And then, of course, we're talking the playoffs and how exciting these things are. And then in terms of Heat Check, just the same old talking smack about the NBA storylines. We've had some awesome guests recently. We just had Jerry Greenberg on. He came
amazing.
Out.
Amazing.
Yeah, Jerry Greenberg was on in today's episode, so check that out. So that's pretty much it. Also, starting June 1st, I will be doing weekends on WSCR The Score in Chicago. That's a little bit of news. So I have a 3-hour show on Saturday, the June 1st. We'll be talking a little bit about Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark, baby. That's happening the same day I'm on, so look for that as well.
I absolutely love that. And I got to say, I bought the league pass for the WNBA. I am dialed in because, like they were saying, everybody is excited for what's happening in the WNBA, but put your money where your mouth is, people. If you want to support women's sports, go ahead and buy that league pass. It's really not expensive. You can get it on YouTube TV. Highly recommend. It's going to be an incredible season. I'm looking forward to that matchup. Trista, before I let you go, though, how are you feeling about your Cowboys and what's happened or not happened so far in the offseason?
Whoa, we waited till the end. I hate it. When your lead back is Ezekiel Elliott and Rico Dowdle. That's a real name. That is a real name. Deuce Vaughn, Rico Dowdle, the ghost, the zombie of Ezekiel Elliott. And you've got Dak in a contract year and you're stalling out on negotiations with him. CeeDee Lamb stalling out with negotiations on him. I don't feel good at all, Katie.
Oh, spoken like a true Dallas fan. And yes, I would feel the same. You know, as a 49ers fan, I'm checking every morning I wake up and I'm like, please God, don't let this be the day that Debo or Ayuk gets traded somewhere else. And until we actually get to the season, that's how I'm going to spend every morning. Just please God, don't let this happen. And, you know, John Lynch comes on and he says, oh, it's my goal to keep it. Like, we know that these guys lie, though. And I'm sure they salary cap wise. We got Brock Purdy. Then in another year or so is going to have to get paid. It's a little bit scary. Not as bad as what's happening with you guys. But
well, when you take a wide receiver with your first round pick that went to the same school as the guy that's rumored to be out the dough, that's not a great feeling for people who love Brandon Ayuk.
Yes. And I do. And the one thing that sucks about sports is you can't keep everybody. You know, you can't pay everybody and keep everybody and keep the same team. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But you can follow my girl at Trista Crick, at Trista _ Crick on X or Twitter, however you want to say it. And follow this girl on TikTok and on Instagram as well, because she has the funniest, stories when it comes to the gossip and what is happening in the NBA. You don't want to miss any of these. So make sure you follow her on all socials. Trista, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Always appreciate our time together. This has been Moxie Betts presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social as well at Moxie Betts, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for having me, Katie. Always a blast.